I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, welcome back into another Jazz Notes podcast. My name is Cleon Wall, one of the hosts of the Jazz Notes podcast, and joining me today is Kyle Ireland. He writes plenty about the Jazz, so he knows what's going on. He knows what's happening. We've been covering the Jazz this whole entire season, and we've pretty much just passed the three-quarter mark, so we're going to be giving our grades. It's our banana grades, and I'll explain those here in the next few moments. But first, I want to ask Kyle. Kyle, the Jazz have been on a three-game winning streak. Are you impressed?
Yes and no. I mean, I think that they were in a bad place, and they just needed to get a win under their belt with that Washington game. And so it's good to see them kind of get back to having a little bit of a winning streak here without, you know, dropping a game after winning a game. But they haven't won against any real, you know, world beaters. They beat the Cavs, and then they beat the Knicks after that. So not the best of teams to beat, but a win is a win, and you'll take as many as you can get, right?
Yeah, I think so. And that's kind of how I feel right now. And maybe I'm just jaded by what happened early in the season. And what I'm saying is, remember early in the season when they were like, what, 12 or 10 and 13 and 10 because they played a really difficult schedule? And you're like, well, things will ease up and they'll get better. And that's exactly what happened. And then they struggled against some tougher teams. And you're like, well, that's not expected. But they've also struggled against some bad teams too when they came out of the All-Star break. And so maybe it's, I don't want to say I'm a what have you done for me lately type of guy, but that's kind of what it feels like right now. And so it's like, hey, great, the Jazz have won three in a row. Let's see how they do against the Celtics Saturday night or Friday night. So that's kind of how I feel. I don't want to say prove me wrong, but I do want to say let's see how you do against better competition, because you've proven this year you can beat good competition. You've proven this year you can lose to bad competition, and you've proven this year that you can also not play up to expectations. So I guess I'm in the kind of a – I guess I am in the prove me mode. Prove me wrong that you are not just a middling team, because I know that you can play a lot better than you are right now.
No, I completely agree 100% with that. I think that this team has lacked consistency all year. Even when they had that winning streak there in January, they were beating a lot of teams that, you know, they were probably favored and expected to beat. And so, you know, getting a win against Miami and getting a win against the Clippers and, you know, winning that one against Houston, those are good wins, but, you know, they're a little bit of, you know, oh, okay, these are outliers. You need to be able to put together multiple of those. And I think that this upcoming stretch where you face the Lakers and the Raptors, the Celtics, like we talked about even the last time I was on the podcast, just these important games down the stretch, you have to be able to prove that you can beat these teams in the regular season, because things are going to get a lot harder in the postseason if you face a team like the Lakers or like the Clippers. And you need to be able to prove to yourselves, as you know, a member of the Jazz, those players need to have the confidence that they can play well against those teams. So that way, if they face them in a 7-game series, they feel like they can come out on top.
And this Celtics game, I think, will tell us a lot, because this is a team they didn't play not long ago, I should say. They didn't play them that long ago, and they played them fairly well. But the Celtics still kind of hammered him at parts in this game. So this will be interesting to see if they've kind of overcome that hump, and especially if they can play better defense. I'm starting now to think that the Jazz really are just who they are. They're not going to be that really good defensive team like we've seen in years past. They'll be good at times, but, you know, like on a minute or chunk basis, I guess, during a game, they're just not that good at times, and they let teams back into games, and they allow them to score a lot easier than they should. I think that's just kind of the reality of what's going on right there. I wish I could say they're a defensive juggernaut, but they're just not. They just don't have the guys like they had last season. And you could also say some of the guys they did have last season that they have this season, and maybe I'm going to pick on Joe Ingles too much here, they're just not the same. They don't look the same like they have the past couple of seasons.
Yeah, I think that a lot of that defensive issue has to deal with effort. I think that, you know, Quinn put it really nicely after that last game against the Celtics. He talked about how the team, you know, put forth a better effort in that game after losing a few. I mean, it was the fourth game that they had lost in four games. And, you know, people were kind of down in the dumps there as far as, like, what is this team doing? They've lost four in a row right out of the All-Star break. Where's the motivation? But Quinn said after the game, I thought this team put together a really good effort. They've just got to make some more shots, and they've got to be more committed playing defense and just playing together overall. And I think that you've seen that in these three recent games. And so with the Celtics, I think that you can take the things that you learned from that game where you did lose by 11 points, but you can try and, you know, take the positives and build upon them. You look at Bogdanović only had 3 points in that last meeting against the Celtics. And in the last three games, he's been on a tear. And so I think that a lot of that just has to deal with, you know, it's a make or miss league. You got to have shots go in the basket. But I think that if you can stay consistent with the defensive effort, because a lot of defense is just how much effort you're putting out there.
Yeah.
A lot of these guys, they have a certain skill set. I mean, for instance, Bogdanović, nobody expects him to be a lockdown defender. But if he can put together a good effort and then he's also having a shot fall that night, he's probably going to have a good game. And so I think that a lot of that just has to do with him getting some rhythm consistently by making some shots early in the game. And the same thing goes for a lot of the guys on this team. But the effort needs to be there down the stretch, especially against a Celtics team that's going to be depleted because of some injuries.
And speaking of Bogey, he had a real tough time in that last game, not only just offensively, but also defensively. The Celtics picked on him quite a bit. All right, we're going to take an early break here on the Jazz Notes podcast. When we come back, it's our three-quarter grades, and we're using the banana system. I'll explain after this.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the Jazz Notes podcast. My name's Cleon Wall. Kyle Ireland is joining me. It's now time for our three-quarter grades for this Utah Jazz squad. We're going to use the banana system. Here's what I'm talking about. And I've talked about this a lot on the Jazz Notes podcast. Are you a top banana? Are you a second banana? Are you a third banana? We could even go fourth banana. Or are you at the bottom of the bunch? You know, what kind of a banana are you? So Kyle and I, we're going to go through and we're going to talk about some of the main players who are on this Jazz team and give a banana grade. And Kyle, I'm going to leave it up to you. I'm going to say you start out, and if you want to give a grade on just this past quarter, or if you want to give a grade on the season, or both, please go ahead. Let's start off with our first player. I spin the roulette. Actually, there's no roulette. Anyway, we'll start off with Rudy Gobert. He just seems like the most obvious guy to start out with. He or Donovan Mitchell, I'm choosing Rudy. What grade, what kind of a banana is Rudy Gobert?
Oh, Rudy's definitely a top banana. I mean, he's one of the two on this team, in my opinion. And I would say that for the season, I would give him an A-. I think that Rudy's had a really productive year. I think recently he's had a little bit of a dip here. I mean, he had a good game last night against the Knicks. But, I mean, they are the Knicks, and so you would expect him to have a good game. But recently he's kind of had some struggles. He had a streak of double-doubles there that he wasn't able to pull together in the last five or so games, not reaching double digits in rebounds. But, I mean, the last three games, for instance, he's been averaging almost four blocks a game. I think he's really kind of picked up after that little bit of a lull coming out of the All-Star break and really kind of stepped his game up in the last three for the Jazz. And so if he can continue to carry that, I could see him, you know, reaching an A+ by the end of the season. But, you don't make your first All-Star game by not playing well. And so I think that he deserves a top grade for that. He's been a lot better offensively this season. I think that if he could just be a little bit more consistent with that, and I think that part of his frustrations where he's talked about wanting more touches are valid. And I think that as the team finds a way to give him the ball more, he's going to be more productive just because he has that will inside of him.
I have been impressed this season about how, and you could even say the past couple of seasons, about how he's been able to expand his offensive game. It really is impressive. No, he's not Hakeem, but how many guys are Hakeem Olajuwon? Or you could say Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, or you could even go down the line and maybe say Shaquille O'Neal. Of course, he was a lot different body type than Rudy was, but Rudy really has improved his offensive game. I'd say overall on the season, I'd say he's a top banana. I kind of want to say he played at least for a few games like a second banana, but I think that's from frustrations about the team just not playing good defense, and I think it's just kind of affected him. But he has played a lot better recently. I'd probably say in the most recent quarter, I'd kind of lean towards being a second banana. But overall this season, because of the first two parts of the season and most of the third quarter, I'd say he's still a top banana, but maybe a little bit of a second banana in this second quarter. All right, next let's just pick on Donovan Mitchell next. I'll go first, Kyle. I'm going to say he's been a top banana overall this season. I would even say in some ways he's been a little bit of a second banana again in this third quarter. And maybe I'm focusing too much on how the Jazz played after the All-Star break. And actually, let me scratch that. Donovan's played well. Yeah, he's had some games where he hasn't shot well, but Donovan's played well. So I think he's actually been a top banana all season, even including the All-Star break, even after the All-Star break. He was actually more like a fourth banana during the All-Star game. But in reality, he's been playing like a top banana all season long. Yes, he's had some games he's struggled in, but he seems to learn quickly and bounce back quickly. He does not have a lot of like streaks where he's not playing at his best. And so I'm going to say he's a top banana right now.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I mean, you mentioned that, you know, stretch out of the All-Star break where the Jazz kind of dipped there. I mean, four out of the five games out of the All-Star break, he scored 30 or more. And so I think that a lot of that just has to deal with the fact that the guys around him weren't playing very well either. And so he had to kind of shoulder that offensive load like he did in the past two seasons for the Jazz, where, you know, he hasn't had to do that as much with Bogdanovich, and when Conley has been on the floor, Conley as well, trying to help shoulder that offensive burden. But they've kind of reverted in the last 2 weeks or so to the Jazz of last season offensively, where they've had to just kind of turn to Donovan and say, hey, we need you to carry us right now. But in the last three games, Donovan's averaging 24 points a game, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. Again, he could be a little bit better offensively as far as efficiency is concerned. He's putting up a lot of shots, and he needs to probably make more of them. And he needs to probably take some of those mid-range shots and, you know, either take them to the cup and try and get fouled. That's my one concern with Donovan, is that I just wish that he would find a way to get to the foul line more, and then take less mid-range shots and maybe take a couple more threes per game instead. But if he could find a way to just improve his efficiency, I think that, you know, he could be a, you know, top 10 player in this league. And so I think that right now, you know, he's still really young and he's putting up these type of numbers, this production. He's definitely one of the two top guys on this Jazz team. He may be not the most important player on the Jazz roster. I think that goes to Rudy Gobert, but as far as like star power and flashiness, Donovan's definitely up there. He's one of the stars.
I wonder sometimes if he's trying to protect himself when he's going to the basket, and he figures, I can have a long career if I can figure out this mid-range game. But yes, it's still a work in progress. All right, next on our list, you mentioned him, and that's Mike Conley. Where do you put Mike Conley, in the third quarter or overall or both?
So I'm going to say that Mike, for the time that he's been on the floor, I will give him a B-. I think that he's
okay, what
had,
kind of banana is he?
He's a third-tier banana.
Okay,
here.
Okay.
And definitely not top, and he's not the second banana to me. But I think that when he's been on the floor, especially recently, after he came back from that hamstring injury, I felt like he kind of found a groove. They rested him for one game, and I think it kind of threw the team off. And so he's kind of come back into his own over the last few games. He's averaging 16 points a game over the last three games. The Jazz don't need him to do any more than that. He's averaging 6 assists in this winning streak. They just need him to be a facilitator to help, you know, space the floor, get Donovan and Rudy and Bojan the ball in the right spots. And so if he can kind of stay within himself and what the Jazz need him to do, obviously he's been frustrated this season, as he's mentioned in recent days. But if he can kind of just be what the Jazz need him to be and not anything more than that, and kind of stay within himself, it's got to be hard for him. He's been the guy, you know, in Memphis for his whole career, and the Jazz don't need him to be the guy. The Jazz don't need him to be a top banana. They don't need him to be the second banana. They just need him to be the third banana. And so if he can, you know, kind of embrace that role, I think he'll be just fine. And I think that he's kind of come into his own, and if he can continue to stay consistent with that, he'll be really productive as this Jazz team heads into the playoffs.
I would probably say that right now, for me, Mike Conley through the season has been a fourth banana.
Whoa.
I'd say...
You're pessimistic there.
Let me tell you, in the third quarter of the season, I think he's been more like a third banana. I think he's going up the banana ranks. So I think maybe by the end of the season, he could be a third banana, but it might be a little tough. Depending on playing time and making sure that he gets enough work in. But I see improvements, and so that's a good thing. I guess the thing maybe I'm going to knock him for, and I'm going to go with heightism here. He is such a slight guy. Sometimes they really pick on him because he is so small at times. Some of the bigger guards really pick on him, and bigger players, especially when the Jazz decide to switch and they put Mike Conley on one of those big guys, they feast on him. But I think he's improving, so I'm going to say he's on the trajectory to be a third banana by the end of the season. I'm sure he'd love to be the second banana in second banana status. I'm not sure he can reach that with how many struggles he's had this season. All right. Let me move on. We got to move a little bit quicker here. Let's go to Bojan Bogdanović next. I'd say so far this season, he's been a good second banana. Because he had his struggles coming out of the All-Star break, I'm going to put him in third banana status. Again, maybe that's a little unfair because of that little stretch where he struggled, because he's done so good so far this season. But I also think he's kind of a streaky player. When he's hot, and I'm not talking about just game-wise, I'm talking about sometimes he's really hot for several games in a row, and then he's really cold for several games in a row. So I'm not sure I see him going above being the second banana ever. And so right now I think he's kind of third banana status, but he's kind of ratcheting back up because he's playing better. What do you think about Bojan Bogdanović?
I couldn't agree with you more. I definitely think that he's second banana. I look at his last stretch here in this winning streak, and he's averaging 24 points a game. And that comes after that 1-for-8 game that he had against the Celtics, where he scored 3 points. We talked about the struggles in that game, how they picked on him. But he's kind of come into, you know, the Bojan that we saw to begin the season, where he was lighting things up. And when he's shooting the ball effectively and he's shooting it well, the Jazz are a tough team to beat because he just opens the floor so much for Donovan and Rudy, and being able to have that outside in game. And I just think that if he can continue to do that, and I'd love to see if he can kind of rebound from that bad performance against the Celtics and have a good game against the Celtics on Friday. That would make me feel a lot more confident about him. Just, you know, that was a bad stretch there, and he's kind of come back out of it.
All right, next we'll go with Joe Ingles. Joe Ingles, my guy. What do you think, Kyle?
You know what? I love Joe as much as anybody else. I think Joe is a fascinating guy. I think he's a funny human being, and I think he's a great person. He's hilarious. He's a good interview. Even when he's on, he's playing really well. But
are you going to say bless his heart here in a second, or
bless his heart, Cleon? I'm gonna say bottom tier this season. Joe's been really disappointing, and I think that, you know, some of that has to do with the fact that he's, you know, had to adjust his role multiple times this year, and a lot of that has to do with Bogdanović and Conley being on the roster this season, where he didn't have to worry about having two other scorers on the team or other ball handlers on the team last season or the year before that. And so I would say that I'd give him a C+ for this season's performance, because, again, like Bogdanović, he's had some streakiness to him this season. He's had stretches where he's played really well. And then I feel like the problem with this season for Joe Ingles is the fact that the stretches where he hasn't played as well have been more prominent, and they've been longer stretches than the stretches that he's had that have been really good. And so I'd like to see him kind of bounce back. He hasn't really had a good stretch here since he's returned from the All-Star break, and the Jazz really are a better team when Ingles plays well. And I think that, you know, it's been said in the past, the way the Ingles goes, the way the Jazz go. And I think that that is a really true statement. And the Jazz need him to be clicking on all cylinders. And whether that's him coming off the bench or him being in the starting lineup, the Jazz need to figure out how he can be most effective playing alongside guys like Mike Conley and Bojan Bogdanovic before the playoffs.
I'm not sure there's much more I can add. I'd probably rank him, you know, bottom of the bunch right now. I'd like to say that there were times during the season where he was trending upwards and he was playing better when he was in the starting lineup with Rudy Gobert. But even now, right now, I know he's gone back to the bench, but even during that period, at times, he struggled. I think he would even say he's not played up to expectations. I'm going to move along and move on to Royce O'Neal. I don't know where to put Royce. This is the one that just, I have a quandary. I want to put him as like a fourth banana just because he doesn't score much, but he's just one of those kind of glue guys that you like having on your team, and he pretty much will go out and try and guard anyone. Maybe he's not effective at guarding everyone, but the guy just basically does whatever you ask him to do. So if that's the case, I should probably put him in like third banana status, but I'll put him in fourth banana status. And I don't think that's a bad thing right now for the role that Royce plays.
Yeah, I'm going to go 2.5 banana. Is that a thing?
Can that's
go
fine. With that? It's okay. You can cut a banana open.
I think that Royce has just been super consistent for the Jazz this season. He isn't the guy that's going to put up big numbers. He's not going to be super flashy. He's even had really poor defensive games this season, which I think that that's been probably the weakness in his game this year, where, you know, in seasons past, I would think that, you know, oh, he's going up against this team's best defender. That's going to be a good matchup because they don't need him to score. They just need him to play lockdown defense. But he's gotten burned a few times. And I think that that would be the one thing that I think Royce needs to kind of pick back up as this team plays against some of these better opponents down the stretch and into the postseason. But I think that Royce has been, you know, like you said, what he's done for the Jazz has been exactly what this team has asked of him. And so I'm going to go 2.5 banana for Royce.
All right. Last but not least, we're going to cover Jordan Clarkson. I'll go really quickly and then I'll have you wrap it up, Kyle. And that is, I think Jordan is a good second banana, and I'm not sure he's going to ever reach first banana status, at least with the Utah Jazz, because as of right now, I think they see him as that really good scorer off the bench that plays with the second unit. But right now, I don't know if it's they don't trust him or they don't want him to be out there, but he's not out there during the finish of games. So that's why he cannot reach top banana status. But I think he's a really good, solid second banana that you like to have on your team.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go with you on the second banana thing as well, because he's averaging the second highest total in points per game that he's averaged in his career. And I think that, you know, in a small sample size of 30 games, that's been a really, you know, beneficial thing for this bench that was clearly struggling when they added him. And I think that they're still struggling in certain matchups and in certain games. And if Jordan's not totally clicking, I think that this bench, as far as scoring goes, is really in trouble against a lot of opponents where the starting lineup kind of needs the bench to supplement them. But Jordan Clarkson has given the Jazz, you know, almost everything that they expected out of him when they traded for him. And so I'm going to go second banana on him as well.
All right, that's going to do it for the Jazz Notes podcast. We appreciate you downloading, subscribing, and listening to us. Kyle, thanks a lot. I can't wait to get you on again.
Thanks, Cleon. Appreciate it.
All right, we'll talk to you Jazz fans soon.